Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, our special guest will be the commander of the Camp Ripley Regional Training Center, Colonel Scott St. Salver, and we'll learn about the Arden Hills Army Training Site. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General, the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since 9/11, more than 25,000 citizen soldiers and airmen have deployed in support of operations Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and New Dawn. The timeline for the Minnesota National Guard started the morning of 9/11 at 11 a.m. when our Duluth-based 148th Fighter Wing was activated and immediately started patrolling the skies. In the spring of 2004, the first of many Minnesota National Guard troops deployed to support Operation Iraqi Freedom. In 2005, the 148th Fighter Wing provided close air support to ground troops in Iraq. At the same time, the 133rd Airlift Wing provided air support to the Gulf region and nine other countries. As a Monticello-based 216th Air Defense Artillery and the Hastings-based 134th Signal Battalion soldiers returned in 2005, they were part of the new reintegration program called Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, designed to help service members and their families acclimate to a new normal. This program gained national traction and became a federally funded program. The 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division was mobilized in 2005 and was recognized as having served the longest tour of Iraq of any military unit, active or reserve. They were deployed away from home for 22 months, with 16 months in combat. They mobilized again in 2010 and were recognized as the largest Minnesota deployment since World War II. Just as ships pass in the night, the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division headquarters was arriving in Basra, Iraq, as the St. Paul-based 34th Combat Aviation Brigade was departing in 2009. The division provided command and control for 16,000 U.S. military service members and operated in nine of Iraq's 18 provinces. Just last month in August, the 148th Fighter Wing deployed approximately 300 airmen plus aircraft to Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan. This is the first time they deployed with the new Block 50 F-16 aircraft. Remember 9/11, and remember that in the war on terrorism, your Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen are always ready to support and defend this nation and state. Thank you for your support of all service members, their families, and employers since 9/11. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good businesses get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Colonel Scott St. Salver is the post commander of Camp Ripley, Minnesota, a 53,000-acre state of Minnesota-owned training facility, and commander of the training support unit that is responsible for the day-to-day operations of Camp Ripley. Colonel St. Salver, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Finally got you down to Minneapolis after visiting with you up at Camp Ripley and up in Brainerd.
Absolutely. I'm on your turf now.
I don't know if that's good or bad, sir.
Oh, I think it's great.
You've got some sergeants majors with you, so we're in trouble.
Exactly. They're here to keep us both out of trouble.
Yes, sir. Colonel, we've talked before about the Camp Ripley Regional Training Center, but it's a state-owned facility, and that's kind of an important fact, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, having a state-owned facility in the center part of Minnesota is something that the state of Minnesota and the soldiers and airmen of the National Guard should be very proud of. It's 53,000 acres, as you mentioned, 18 and a half miles long by about 5 miles wide. And interestingly enough, it's a state game refuge. So it covers a large environmental base, 18 miles of the Mississippi River is our eastern boundary. So if you think about Camp Ripley just as a training site, you're probably even missing the boat. It's for a for looking at our base, it is actually a environmental gem, and it's a regional and conservation gem.
And Colonel, if I remember correctly from one of your past briefings, that's the longest undeveloped stretch of Mississippi River in the nation, isn't it?
We're still trying to verify that, but we believe it is. And by golly, that's what we're telling everybody, is that it is quite possibly the longest undeveloped stretch of Mississippi River. And it's actually Wild River between two dams. And so it is an absolute wonderful resource. And we recognize that as we train our soldiers and airmen.
Lots of wildlife up there, hunting, fishing.
There's a few deer up there. It's been rumored. I think the state record for archery may actually come off of Camp Ripley. In fact, I'm pretty sure it does. I was just out the other day, and I will tell you that the deer are doing very well for those sportsmen that are out there. As we start into the fall season now with all of our hunts, they'll have the opportunity. Many Minnesotans will have the opportunity to hunt up at Camp Ripley in an archery season, which is one of the largest archery seasons that's in the United States, and have an opportunity to hunt that pristine property.
And, Colonel, you've got October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I believe you've got a disabled veterans hunt coming up.
Yeah, probably one of the best events we run all year, Tom, is the disabled veterans hunts. It kicks off our fall hunting season, and it brings those disabled veterans that wouldn't have the opportunity to do what a Minnesotan loves to do, and that's get in the outdoors. They come up to Camp Ripley. Some of them are wheelchair-bound. Some we've had them anywhere from paraplegics all the way, you know, to significant trauma injuries. But they come up with their support staff from the VA. We have tons of sponsors. All of our service clubs sponsor us and come up to Camp Ripley and spend time with those. And then we also bring in soldiers that have been deployed and missed a season of hunting. And then they get to share in that environment, and they'll go out and hunt. So it's pretty neat to see, if you have the opportunity, watching those elements build blinds and lift up those wheelchairs. And we even have wheelchairs with tracks on them that some of the disabled veterans will go out and hunt. But it is an amazing sight to see the pride on a disabled veteran when he shoots that deer, and even just being out there with his comrades.
They look forward to that all year long, don't they?
Every I do. I look forward to it just as much as they do, because I get up at 4 a.m. and go down and have breakfast with them. I'm waiting there to see when they bring their deer in or come in for the day, and just the stories. You know, earlier we were talking about stories. It's all about the stories that veterans share.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Salver, the post commander of Camp Ripley, on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, when we think of Camp Ripley, we think about the Minnesota Guard training up there, but it's actually the 1st Brigade and the 2nd Brigade from Wisconsin. But you've got a lot of other people that use the facility as well, don't you?
We sure do. And this year was a perfect example of that. We actually had two large Army formations come up to Camp Ripley this summer, along with our own soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota Guard. And that was, we had a full brigade out of Iowa. We had Iowa's brigade here, then we had a unit from Illinois, followed by a unit from Georgia. And a little bit later, we'll talk about all of those interagency partners that I think you're alluding to, and we'll talk about how the state of Minnesota and the value that our state partners get.
And because it's a state facility, it's open to the Highway Patrol and the DOT, and we'll get to some of those future events, I think, later in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to talk about those interagency partners, because that is really becoming a new area of growth on Camp Ripley.
Colonel, I understand that also under your command is the Arden Hills Army Training Site.
Right. I have another nice little training site down here in the Northern Metro, up in the Arden Hills area, about 1,500 acres. And today with me is Mary Lee, our Environmental Protection Specialist. And we're going to talk a little bit after the break about what a great little training site that we have here for the Metro-based units of the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard.
1,500 acres, just a small one.
Yeah, it's just a little one.
Colonel, we've got about 30 seconds before the break. I think you've got some other hunting things coming up at Camp Ripley over MEA weekend?
We do. We have a number of hunts coming up that will occur throughout the fall, starting with, as you mentioned, the 2 to 4 October deployed hunts, then the youth archery hunt, which is a youth hunt that occurs between the 5 through 7 October time period, followed by two DNR open bow hunts that people apply for across citizens of Minnesota, 18 and 19, 27 and 28 October. And then our deployed soldier muzzleloader hunt will occur the 26th to 28th November. And that's the only organized gun hunt that we have on the installation, and that's for deployed soldiers.
And if you didn't get all of that, we'll have links to the Camp Ripley site and all of those dates on our Facebook. So just go to Minnesota Military Radio on Facebook, and you'll find additional information about Camp Ripley and those upcoming hunts. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back with more from Colonel St. Salver and Camp Ripley. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and joining me today as my special co-host is the commander of the Camp Ripley Regional Training Center and the Arden Hills Army Training Site, Colonel Scott St. Sauber. Colonel St. Sauber, we wanted to talk about the Arden Hills Army Training Site that you are also responsible for, and you brought along a guest today to talk about it.
I sure have, Tom, and thank you. We're going to talk a little bit about the 1,500-acre training site that we have in the northern metro at Arden Hills, and with me today is Mary Lee. Mary's our environmental protection specialist up at Arden Hills. And as we talk about Arden Hills, she'll actually fill us in on why that's important that I bring an environmental protection specialist with me. But the Arden Hills site is a very interesting site for us that developed many years ago. A lot of people may recognize the portion of the property that was the Twin City Ammunition Army Ammunition Plant back in the World War II and produced ammunition in the Northern Metro. So Mary helps me manage that facility. I and my staff kind of work on the Army side of the house for the training for our soldiers and airmen from the Metro Base units that use the facility. But Mary really helps us and empowers us by ensuring that we're doing all the right things as the Army continues to clean up the site and as we manage that property.
Mary, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, for having us here today.
How big of a job is it to manage a military site 1,500 acres right in the middle of the Twin Cities?
It's definitely a full-time job, and it keeps us real busy. We've got a couple units out there right now, and we train on the drill weekends and during the summer. We focus on land navigation, driver's training, maneuver and convoy operations. We have a couple landing zones. We have an engagement skills training unit in the building. Then this month, we'll also be adding a military operations on urban terrain site to improve our tactics and techniques out there. So we keep real busy out there.
The colonel says it's important to have an environmental protection specialist on board to help him. You must have a busy job out there.
We do. After they're done training, we kind of go after them and we look and see what we need to do to improve the habitat, to repair any damages that have been done, and in general, just make sure we're being sustainable and being good stewards of the land.
So part of the site is a sort of a city center, as the colonel describes Camp Ripley, and the rest of it is wildlife area?
We do. We have the southern 300 acres is our cantonment or campus area, and we treat that as our development area. And the northern 1,200 acres is open space that we use for our year-round training of our soldiers and airmen.
Are there a couple of units that are stationed or assigned there?
Right now in the Arden Hills Readiness Center, we're home to the 147th Human Resource Company and the 1135th Transportation Company. And then temporarily, we're home to the 834th Aviation Brigade while they remodel the Cedar Street Armory.
Actually, it was very conducive for us since we had to do some remodeling of one of our armories here in St. Paul. We moved that unit out to Arden Hills to a new facility because one of the units is currently deployed. And then we can use that space until we get that remodeled. So it worked out very well. And as we develop Arden Hills in the city center area in Arden Hills, you'll see a lot more construction happening out there in the next few years.
Colonel, it would seem that it'd be more convenient for the Twin Cities units to train close to home or closer than Camp Ripley on the weekends.
And that's exactly what we're there for and why we went after this property and went into this partnership. Because different than Camp Ripley, the Arden Hills site is a federal site. So as we mentioned at Camp Ripley being a state-owned site, the Arden Hills facility is a federal site, so therefore I share the responsibility with our Title 10 officer, our federal representative, to make sure we manage that site properly. And then we put it there so those units would have the opportunity to use it on their weekend drills without having to go all the way to Camp Ripley.
So this is another multi-use site that's used by a number of different organizations.
Absolutely.
We're speaking with Colonel Scott St. Sauber, the commander of Camp Ripley, and Mary Lee from the Arden Hills Army Training Site on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, what's in the future for the Arden Hills Army Training Site?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of stuff going on, and Mary can help me here, but she's very much aware of the units we have going in there, as well as we're building the largest field maintenance shop right now in the Minnesota National Guard, and in the inventory right now, in the National Guard inventory, we'll be at Arden Hills. We have another armory coming up, right?
Right. In FY13, or next fiscal year, we'll have the Aviation Brigade's Readiness Center, and that'll be a 70,000-square-foot building. Our current Readiness Center is 62,000 square feet, and that was just completed this past January. And the field maintenance shop is 98,000 square feet, and we're building those to the Leadership, Energy, and Environmental Design Standards of LEED Silver. So we're looking to be sustainable, to design, build, and operate at those levels.
That's a great point she makes, Tom, because one of the things that my partner up in the facilities management office, Colonel Bruce Jensen, does is ensures that we are always looking for to be a better steward of the environment, the green standards. And Arden Hills site gives us some great opportunities to exercise some of that, as Mary mentioned.
Colonel, seems like since I met you a couple of years ago, you've got a lot of construction going on. You built a city up at Camp Ripley, and now you've got all this construction coming on at Arden Hills. You're getting to be quite the expert, aren't you?
Well, I don't know if it's me personally. I think there's a lot of people for a lot of years that have spent a lot of time looking forward to the Minnesota National Guard's future, and it's their work that has led us to this point, and I'm a benefactor of that, certainly.
Colonel, I know we've talked in the past about a buffer zone around Camp Ripley, but the Arden Hills site's right in the middle of the Twin Cities. How do you get along with your neighbors? How's that going?
Well, that's a great question for Mary, and I think I'll have her answer that.
Well, we value our partnerships with the city and the community. We open our doors to partnerships with Audubon, Minnesota, St. Paul, Audubon. We partner with the sheriff's office and the law enforcement communities to come in and train and to use our site for the resources that we value. And the habitat and the property is just unbelievable. It's beautiful.
Mary, is the Arden Hills site open to any hunting?
We do have archery hunts for our deployed soldiers this fall, and we'll be opening those on October 5th through the 7th, the 12th through the 14th, the 26th through the 28th, and then November 30th to December 2nd will be our archery only.
And once again, we'll have links to those up on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site so our listeners can check those out. And Mary, that's just archery, no firearms.
Correct. There's no live fire in Arden Hills. We save all that for Camp Ripley, our training site to the north.
And can you tell us, Arden Hills sounds like you've got more construction going on there. It's an integral part of the Minnesota National Guard. Is it going to be a big part of it in the future?
Oh, it certainly is. We're currently in the future years defense plan to put the 34th Division headquarters out at Arden Hills, and that currently is to begin in fiscal year 17.
Mary, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about the Arden Hills Army training site?
It's an important bird area. We value our birds, our bird hikes. We have the Urban Bird Fest in July every year. We have Blanding's turtles, trumpeter swans, osprey. So we have a lot of wildlife and habitat that we value. And the other thing is we also partner with the City of Arden Hills on the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program and their partnership.
Mary, you look like you just love it out there.
I do. It's a beautiful site. You'll have to come visit us out there, Tom.
We'll take you up on that. If you've got an event, maybe we can come out and do a remote show from there.
Perfect.
Mary, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Colonel, we'll be back in a moment. I understand that on Saturday, September 15th, that you've got an event coming up because you have Command Sergeant Major Daniel Smith passing the responsibilities to Sergeant Major Michael Warden for Camp Ripley, and we're going to meet both of those Sergeants Major on our next segment.
Outstanding. They're both great. Both great Americans. They'll be fun to talk to.
Yes, sir. But now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Heather Matthews. Heather served as an intelligence officer in the United States Navy. While on active duty, she was able to use her master's degree in intercultural studies and gain 5 years of experience working abroad in East and Southeast Asia. She acted as a cross-cultural consultant and also supervised enlisted members. She has a high aptitude for learning foreign languages and currently speaks Mandarin, Tibetan, and some Thai. Heather and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Heather Matthews, contact the South Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll meet with Camp Ripley's outgoing and incoming Command Sergeants Major. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and our special guest host today is the commander of the Camp Ripley Regional Training Center, Colonel Scott St. Sauver. And in a moment, we're going to meet both his outgoing and incoming Sergeants Major. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
This year, marks the tremendous achievements of 125 years of exemplary service within our Minneapolis Veterans Home. Originally an old soldiers' home for veterans of the Civil War, the veterans' homes reflect how the needs of our nation's heroes have changed and the ways in which they can remain the same. Today, the focus of the homes has shifted to include finding homes and jobs within the community for our veterans. However, the home continues to meet and exceed veterans' physical, social, and spiritual needs. The home remains a place for excellent 24-hour physical and psychological care. We are excited for the opening of two remodeled buildings at the Minneapolis home during the 125th anniversary, which will provide greater privacy and care, along with the nation's second veteran-operated adult day center. We will commemorate this year and the creation of these buildings with a time capsule for future generations, with items chosen by veterans and voted on by the public. With this anniversary in mind, we are reminded to continue to look towards our veterans in the homes as we continue to look forward to the next 125 years of serving those who have served.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Colonel Scott St. Salver, the commander of the Camp Ripley Regional Training Center, say that three times faster, has joined us today as our co-host, and he's got a new chapter in the history of Camp Ripley coming up, as he's got a change in command coming. Command Sergeant Major Daniel Smith passes his responsibility to Sergeant Major Michael Warden. Colonel, we've got two Sergeant Majors in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, I'm sitting a little bit straighter. You know, I have the proper posture, and I will tell you that I'm very, very blessed to have served with Dan Smith, and to have Mike Warden coming in to serve with, because as all commanders know at any level, you have to have a senior enlisted advisor you can trust and someone that will stand beside you, and these two are two of the finest.
Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, sir, thank you.
Sergeant Major Smith, maybe it was just me, but it looked like you were paying close attention to Commissioner Shelledo when he was talking about the old soldiers' home.
And they say that's where we go when we're done with this, but not for a while yet.
So Sergeant Major Warden's hooking up the wagon, getting ready for you.
Yes, he is.
How many years have you been in the military?
I've been over 29 years now.
And your position as Command Sergeant Major of Camp Ripley, can you tell us briefly what does that compose of?
Well, normally the Command Sergeant Major is the senior enlisted advisor to the commander. And that's one of the roles I do. I advise Colonel St. Sovereign on the enlisted things that are going on at Camp Ripley, but also what the state and civilian, our civilian and state and federal employees are also doing to make sure that he understands if there's issues and stuff that we need to deal with. And the other thing I do at my job is when it's either a military organization or a civilian organization comes to Ripley, they have a certain level of expectation for their training. And I go ahead of that when they usually first get there, I ask them, do you got everything you need? And if they don't, then I take and make a phone call to one of my staff and say, hey, these guys need this, or at least I give them a point of contact. So when they start their training, they have all the resources necessary to complete their training.
And for you and Colonel St. Sauver, there have been a lot of advancements and a lot of construction over the last few years, haven't there?
It's unreal. If you haven't been to Camp Ripley in the last couple of years, you probably haven't been to Camp Ripley.
What are you most proud of over the last, during your tour as Command Sergeant Major?
Probably the relationships and the partnerships we developed with non-military units, our state agencies and our federal agencies. Camp Ripley in the past used to be kind of a military training installation, had the peak summer times, but now we've become more of a year-round facility, and we've developed those relationships between the State Patrol, the DNR, Department of Energy, civilian law enforcement, and just regular civilian organizations.
And what have you seen that's changed the most in Camp Ripley since you've been up there?
Probably just the fact that it's becoming a year-round training facility. Like I said in the past, we used to have these peak periods during the summer where all the units would come and doing their annual training, their two-week training period. But now we have more use between the October to, say, May time frame, and then at the end of the AT periods, the September to the, through those winter months and stuff. A lot more civilian agencies using Camp Ripley.
You know, Tom, I can tell you the Sergeant Major's being also a little humble, because one of the other things he's done very, very well for me is he goes out in the community as an ambassador to the local communities, and we do a lot of briefings, letting people know what we're doing, how our missions have changed, when we're going to be loud, how we recognize our associations with the Central Minnesota area, and Sergeant Major Smith has been a vital part of that.
Sergeant Major, you've been really busy for a bunch of years now, and you're moving into retirement. What does that mean to you? What are you going to do?
Well, I have a few jobs lined up, none of which pay because of my wife's list. I'm trying to work this stay-home dad thing, but according to the wife, it's got to pay, and I have to have kids. So I don't think the stay-home dad thing is going to work. So I'm looking at kind of some temporary jobs. I don't know what I necessarily want to do because I've been doing the military for about 22 years now. So, but it's no better time to be a veteran now with the support that civilians are giving us out there and hiring veterans. And I really, if anything, I'd like to thank those organizations that are hiring veterans because we didn't have that in the past. And we're very, very fortunate right now that those civilian organizations out there are hiring veterans and looking for veterans. And so there's no better time to be a retired veteran.
Sergeant Major, in case you missed it, if you go to positivelyminnesota.com/veterans, there's a three-step process to help you find a new position as a civilian.
I have to do the first step, which is to realize I'm retiring.
Colonel, we also have with us Sergeant Major Michael Warden, your incoming Command Sergeant Major. Welcome to the show, Sergeant Major.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Have you been in the military for how many years now?
Just going on 22 years.
Are you ready to step into the shoes of the outgoing Sergeant Major?
Boy, I think so. I think so. I feel great about the opportunity that Colonel St. Sauver is going to give to me at Camp Ripley. And yeah, it's a pretty exciting time to be a part of the team at Camp Ripley. Just, you know, as you guys have focused on all day, is just all the change going on and as we evolve as an organization. And yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm looking forward to it.
So you're ready when Colonel St. Sauver and the rest of the command make these decisions of what we're going to do, you have to go figure out how to get it done.
That's correct. Yes, sir. And anyone who knows Colonel St. Sauver knows he can keep us on our toes. That's absolutely right.
I think I'm going to need one of you two guys to protect me. He's giving me a funny look after that comment.
Not at all. Not at all. But, of course, he's absolutely right. I mean, it's part of the Sergeant Major's responsibility is ensuring that we are doing the right things the right way. And I'll tell you, one of the areas that I can mention about that Sergeant Major Warden will be working on is the safety area. You know, safety is a big part of what we do. You heard Sergeant Major Smith say, you know, we were a 3-month, really, traditional training site for many, many years. But we've evolved now with all of these partners we're bringing on and all of these additional training that we do to get our soldiers and airmen ready to deploy and to come back and do those ongoing missions is their safety when they're at Camp Ripley, doing the hard work that they do, whether they be law enforcement, whether they be military. So the Sergeant Major is a vital part of that program.
And for those listeners that might not have been in the military, it's vitally important for an officer to have a good senior enlisted advisor to help carry on the mission.
It makes my life much easier, and it keeps me out of trouble.
Sergeant Major, what priorities do you have coming into your new position?
You know, as I've looked at it and tried to figure out what needs to be important, I think the one right at the top of the list has to be just to continue to maintain that high standard that the existing staff at Camp Ripley has put out there. You know, we get feedback on some of our customer satisfaction and from the commanders that leave after they train with us. And time and time again, we hear nothing but the way that our staff at Camp Ripley is able to provide solutions. As Colonel St. Sauver likes to say, you know, we can constantly turn no into yes. We can find ways to meet the objectives of the people that want to come train there. And in order to support that and support that staff that we have up there is obviously got to be at the top of my list. But in simplest terms, as Sergeant Major Smith and I were talking about before we stepped in here, you know, my number one priority is just don't screw it up. Just keep going forward. And
I think that's a good priority, Tom, if you think about that one a minute.
Sergeant Majors don't screw up, sir.
You know, but just keeping that in his mind all the time, that way he doesn't have to worry about it.
I think this is all fascinating. We're going to get into this in a moment in the fourth segment, sir, but it's not just military at Camp Ripley. You've got a lot of civilian agencies and things in and off the post, and I'm sure your Sergeant Major gets involved with all those civilian authorities as well.
Yeah, intimately involved with those because I am often off the post thinking about the future of Camp Ripley, working the Adjutant General's priorities for what's next for Camp Ripley, and the Sergeant Major, being my senior enlisted advisor on the base, is working with that staff all the time and working with those civilian agencies as we expand those roles.
Thank you, sir. Sergeant Major Smith, best of luck as you join the civilian workforce with me.
Thank you, sir.
And Sergeant Major Warden, I'm sure you'll do a great job working with the post Camp Ripley and Colonel St. Sauveur.
Thank you.
We have to take a short break, and we'll be back with more from Colonel St. Sauveur, the commander of Camp Ripley, and as we talk a little bit about the future of the camp on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and as you know, we've been joined today by our special co-host, Colonel Scott St. Sauveur from Camp Ripley, and we also have his Command Sergeant Major Dan Smith and his incoming Sergeant Major Michael Warden with us. Gentlemen, Camp Ripley, I've been up there a few times, and boy, what a facility. And Colonel, we haven't really talked about the Guard uses it, and many other Guards from the other states use it, but you also have a number of civilian agencies that make good use of this state property.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. You know, one of our greatest areas of growth has been our areas of our state agencies and our interagency partners. We've had some interagency partners on Camp Ripley a long time that people may not have realized, but that is expanding as we go. The DNR Enforcement Center is at Camp Ripley. They've been at Camp Ripley a long time, and this year they are currently on their second class of conservation officer training. So for the first time, I believe, in 5 years the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources will graduate a couple of groups of new conservation officers for the state of Minnesota, all that training done at Camp Ripley. The Highway Patrol has had a rookie school at Camp Ripley for their new entering officers for a number of years, and now we've expanded to do all of their in-service at Camp Ripley as well. So they're pretty important tenants on the base at all times from the state of Minnesota. Now, most recently, we brought in the snowplows from MnDOT, and if you were driving up to Camp Ripley today, you would see a sea of orange as all of the snowplows for the state of Minnesota come to Camp Ripley, and they'll spend the next month going through a training course preparing themselves for the winter. And you and I have talked about that in the past, how they go and push snow around and do everything that we want them to do, learn how to be good snowplow drivers for the state of Minnesota when we get out there in those winter driving seasons.
Sergeant Major Smith, you mentioned something about the snowplow practice. They plow sand. Do they know how to plow by the time they leave?
Well, it's kind of funny when they first get there, you see the level of expertise or sometimes rustiness that they've had because they haven't been plowing snow over the summer months, obviously. But by the time they leave this course, the rapid improvement you see in them is just phenomenal. And it just makes them safer. It's unbelievable when you get them out there and you see them going down the road in the evening house. You know they've gone through some good training and they're safe. And they're out there protecting us.
Colonel, who could imagine that the Camp Ripley helps keep our roads safe all across Minnesota?
No, and what a value. When they first came to us, I remember I was a younger officer at the time and remember when they came and asked about it, and I thought they might have been quite crazy. But they're not. They do a fantastic job. They do what we expect. They learn how to run those big plows and keep us safe with our families on the roads of Minnesota in the winter. The one I want to, the newest area of growth in the interagency area for us has really been the Department of Public Safety and Homeland Security Emergency Management. They have built an emergency management training center at Camp Ripley, and in February this year, they'll run their first exercise of a large scale, which will exercise a county and city's emergency management plan at Camp Ripley. And that will be the city of Rochester in Olmsted County. They'll bring all their emergency management staff up and they will exercise their plan. So in case of an emergency in their community, they will use that new facility to do that. So that's a very exciting addition to Camp Ripley.
Colonel, my perception of Camp Ripley as just being a military training site has certainly changed over the last couple of years. And wow, the interaction with all the different states and all the different civilian agencies coming up there. What a facility.
It really is. And, you know, we're currently right now building the Emergency Vehicle Operation Course, which is another state facility, pure state, for the Highway Patrol, for all of our law enforcement emergency service providers, which is a 4.2-mile high-speed driving track that mimics both everything from country roads to interstate highways, and will be operated by the Department of Public Safety and the Highway Patrol to train our officers and our law enforcement professionals and our emergency service professionals how to control their vehicles and how to use their vehicles to keep us safe.
Colonel, it's just amazing what you can do at Camp Ripley. And one thing we haven't talked about today is the museum at Camp Ripley.
No, and you know, we can't forget to do that ever, because the museum is continuing to expand. Some of the new displays are absolutely incredible. We're starting to see a lot of bus tours up at Camp Ripley. We've got a great young, great new executive director up there that's working on day to day, and Jeff Thielen, who's doing a great job up there. on a part-time basis, and the curators do a wonderful job. So, and it's open to the public, and that's what we continue to say. Don't drive by Camp Ripley. Camp Ripley is an open post. Come and see us. Stop in, bring your ID. We'll want to see that. And then come on in, and you know what? If you want to observe training, you can do that. If you want to see the museum, you can do that, and we'd be more than happy to host you.
Colonel, just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about Camp Ripley or the Arden Hills Army Training Site?
Well, they're both incredible values for the state of Minnesota. That is the one thing I can tell you. They keep our soldiers and airmen safe. They train them in the skills they need. They are a value to our citizens in both the in our state agency training, for our law enforcement professionals, for our emergency service providers. And now with the conferencing facilities we're building up there, we just broke ground on a new education center that the state bonded us for. We're going to see more of that conferencing ability for those that don't need training area, but they need good classroom space for our state employees to train on, for our department agency, interagency partners. So we continue to grow, and we continue to understand our role as both military and to the state of citizens of the state of Minnesota.
Colonel, Sergeant Major, Sergeants Major, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
And Colonel,
you.
I'd like you to stick around for just a moment. We've got another guest that I want you to surprise.
My pleasure.
And now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, joining us is Doug Bly. Doug, there's someone in the studio that wants to say hello to you.
Hi, Doug. This is Colonel Scott St. Sauver. How are you doing today?
Well, Colonel, I'm doing very well. It's good to hear your voice again. I've not seen you probably about a year or so.
I know. I when I found out you were calling in today, I couldn't wait to say hi. I hope you're doing well, my friend, and thanks for everything you and all your folks do.
Well, it's our honor, Colonel. You know that, and just you know, we're so proud to be part of the small things we do for you guys up at camp, and it's just you know, just we're so darn proud of the Minnesota National Guard, the Red Bulls, and you know, it's a world class organization. It's just we love being part of where you are.
Well, and that goes right back to you guys. It's not a day goes by that I'm not out at Camp Ripley, and I see a group of your Patriot Guard riders either assisting over at the State Veterans Cemetery or assisting with us.
Well, it's, again, our honor, and ask for more. That's all we can tell you, Colonel. Ask for more.
Doug, you had a letter that you wanted to share with us today.
Yeah, you know, it's timely. We have a mission this weekend, Tom, for repatriation of remains, and we've done a number of them in the last 5 years. And just yesterday, I got a letter. It was actually a journal of a man from the western part of the state who brought his dad home from Hawaii. And Captain Spindler crashed in June of 1967. He was in an A4. And the JPAC went back three times. And twice they said, we're done with it. And three times it went back. And the last visit over there, they found some of his teeth. They found a rusted toenail clipper and a rusted knife, and that's what they brought home. And having a chance to read this letter from his son, who was 5 years old when he went to Vietnam, and it just really brings back the sadness, you know, and the lack of closure these families have, you know, when someone is missing in action. And you know, it's emotional for me. I'm not afraid to say. Last night when I read this, I was teared up, kind of sniffling reading it. But Dwayne Spindler sent this letter, and I actually got it from a friend of his, and it's about 8 or 9 pages with pictures of going to Hawaii, pictures of you know as they loaded the remains, and talked about the plane flight to Seattle, and they were met by the honor guard out in Seattle. The pilot, as they came into Minneapolis, the pilot, everybody sits so they could get off the plane. And they did the fire hose crossing as they came into Minneapolis. And just I don't know if it's pride, he's proud of his father. But I think just the closure he had to know dad's home. And we got dad home. And I think just to read that, he was very specific. There was a lady named Dr. Pilliard, who was the one who kept forcing them to go back. She knew they were going to find his dad's remains in Vietnam, and she was part of finding it and to bring him home. And we have another one of those missions this weekend, Tom, where I believe he's actually coming home tomorrow, and the funeral services are going to be on Saturday. And I cannot imagine what a family goes through when that family member is missing. And you can have hope against hope, but you know after 40 years you're hoping against hope. And he's not a prisoner of war, and he was killed, and it's just a matter of getting that closure to say yes. But the pictures of the Patriot Guard around the funeral the whole time, Tom. It's
what you're all about, Doug. It's honor, dignity, respect. you can send me over a copy of that letter, we'll post it.
I will do that. They wanted to make it public and to say thanks to the many people on the airplane, as from Hawaii to Seattle to Minneapolis to Sioux Falls. I think it was Sioux Falls they went into, and the people who stood on the street and the Patriot Guard members who lined the road and were at the funeral, and the Native Americans who were there in full battle regalia. And, you know, I think that just, it just says so much for Minnesota, Tom, and I look at it that way. It just says so much for us as Minnesotans and what we feel about these families. And it's a very important weekend for the tribute to the troops. I talked about them last month, and they're doing their September ride, and they visited families who lost someone in the last year or more to let them know Minnesotans never forget. So it's my friends in tribute to the troops, ride safe.
Doug, just a couple of seconds left. Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone who's a patriot, Tom. You do not need a motorcycle. You do not need to be a veteran. Just go to www.mnpatriotguard.org. On the left-hand side, click Join Us, and all we ask you to do is bring a 3x5 flag and a pole. We don't care how you get there. Just get there.
And a good heart.
That means more than anything, Tom.
Doug, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Colonel. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Doug.
Just a couple of mentions before we're done. There's a job fair on Wednesday, September 12th from 2 to 7 at Minnesota National Guard's Army Aviation Supports Facility at Holman Field in the North Hangar. Meet with top veteran-friendly employers, attend workshops, mock interviews, and talk to experts on site to help you with your job search and transition. This job fair and career event is open to service members, veterans, and family members. The address is 206 Airport Road in St. Paul. That's 206 Airport Road. Please RSVP Staff Sergeant Janice Hawkins at janice.hawkins1@us.army.mil. We'll post that link on our Facebook page. Also, Southwest Twin Cities Yellow Ribbon Coalition will be holding a kickoff. The coalition includes the cities of Edina, Excelsior, Hopkins, Minnetonka, St. Louis Park, and Wayzata. The Southwest Beyond the Yellow Ribbon will hold its kickoff meeting on Tuesday, September 11th at the Hopkins VFW. The kickoff will start at 5:30 p.m. and will feature a 9/11 commemoration followed by the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon presentations by retired Brigadier General Dennis Schulstad, Annette Kuiper, as well as testimonials from recently deployed service members and spouses. Bring the kids. Edina Park and Recreation will be on hand with games and activities for the entire family. The Hopkins VFW is located at 100 Shady Oak Road, Hopkins, Minnesota, 55343. For more information, visit sw-btyr.org, and we'll have a link for that on the website. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Scott St. Salver, Mary Lee, Command Sergeant Major Dan Smith, Sergeant Major Michael Warden, Doug Bly from the Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network and an upcoming Wild Wings event. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.